Hey, boys and girls. Welcome to the best podcast in the history of mankind. It's Monty's Rockcast. And now, here's your host, Monty Colvin.
Hey, hey, hey. Welcome to the Rockcast. I am your host, Monty Colvin.
You're a kook.
Today, I'm going to start out with a question from Rockcast listener Jimmy G, who says, "Hey, Monty, I briefly subscribe to many podcasts, some only for an episode or two, but the Rockcast seems to be a keeper. Kudos to you. It's a lot of work, and you have a consistently good product. What is your secret to maintaining the quality of the Rockcast?" Well, Jimmy, that's easy to answer, because there's really no secret. You see, it just all boils down to the fact that I have a personal commitment to excellence, and I approach each and every episode the same way I approached my musical career, with 110% effort. Because for me, it's all about being a professional. And I gotta say that... Oh, hang on. Excuse me, it's lunchtime and I've got this delicious brat in front of me, but it's not gonna stop me. Like I was saying, there is nothing that keeps me from putting out a quality show. Oh, man. This bratwurst is so good, I gotta tell you. But like I was saying, it's really all about being professional. As long as you do that, people are going to respect that. So, Jimmy, I hope that answers your question. It was a good one. And thanks for asking. All right. Now, I hope you enjoy the show.
You disgust me.
Let's kick this show off with a segment that I haven't done in years. It's something that I like to call Rapid Fire. Emails, comments, top tens, and questions. Okay, so it hasn't been years, but it still sounds like a good idea.
It's not.
First up, I've heard from several of you guys who tell me you've had some technical issues with the Rockcast, that after you download it, it plays for about 20 minutes and then just stops.
Ah!
In fact, it's even happened to my wife, Lindsay. She'll be trying to download it from the iTunes store and she'll get errors and she'll have to download it again. And this last time, she even tried resubscribing and that finally worked. So I would suggest resubscribing or just re-downloading it. I don't really know what the problem is because it works fine for me on my computer. And I've also had other people tell me it works just fine for them. So all I can think is maybe it's something that's up with iTunes.
Aha!
I personally still hate iTunes. The basic concept is great, but then Apple thinks they have to update things and jack with things, and it always screws me over.
Well, boo-hoo.
Once again, the other day, something got corrupted because of an update, and I had to spend the next 6 hours loading and deleting and reloading 21,000 songs and podcasts, all because Apple just didn't think iTunes was good enough the way it was.
They're evil!
So I'm going to blame all of this on the iTunes store, and we'll just hope this problem does not persist.
Yeah, well, good luck.
Now, Kevin in New York had all kinds of stuff for me. First, he wrote to tell me that he got to go to one of the Saigon Kick reunion shows, and he said it was really good. He said they played a lot of stuff off their first CD and The Lizard, and it was really cool. Kevin also had several questions for me, the first one being, "Monty, have you heard the new PGP CD? It's an album featuring Doug Pinnick from King's X and Eric Gales, and I was wondering what you thought of it." Well, no, Kevin, I don't have that CD yet, but I have heard a couple of songs off of it. Bob Nalbandian interviewed Doug Pinnick on his podcast, and he played a couple of clips, and honestly, it sounded like Doug Pinnick to me.
No kidding.
Yeah, kind of that heavy, funky, soul, groove rock, and I think you King's X fans will like it.
I don't think so.
Kevin's next question was, Monty, any plans to release a CD of your past demos? Well, no, Kevin, not at the moment, because my demos are exactly that, demos, and I'm not sure anybody needs to hear those.
Absolutely not.
But who knows, maybe someday I'll get really desperate for money and I'll just slap something together and put it out. Oh, wait a minute, I already am desperate.
You're pathetic!
Anyway, Kevin's final question was, Monty, I'm sitting here watching Saturday Night Live right now. Why do they have the lamest bands ever on this show? God, I don't know, Kevin. When SNL started back in the 70s, they had all kinds of cool bands on there. It was the first place I'd ever seen Elvis Costello and the Replacements. And then over the years, it just got more and more trendy and top 40. And these days, it's just complete crap.
So do you like it or not?
The other night, they had this band on there called Of Monsters and Men. And I thought, why don't you put Of Mice and Men on here? I mean, the writing on this show is at the intellectual level of your average 16-year-old kid. Why not put some music on there that those little punks would enjoy?
Yeah, no.
But whatever, I don't think that show's gonna be any good at all until they get rid of Lauren Michaels. Everyone thinks he's such a genius, but to me, he's kind of like David Letterman.
How so?
He's gotten so wrapped up into promoting the liberal agenda, he's forgotten what comedy is. And until he can go out and find the next Will Ferrell or Dana Carvey, that show's gonna continue to suck.
You're mean.
Finally, Kevin says he's a big fan of the game Rock Band for PS3. And he has sent a list of his top 10 artists and bands who he wishes had not just some, but all of their songs on Rock Band.
Awesome!
And Kevin's list starts out at number 10 with Protein.
Huh?
Number 9 is the before-mentioned Saigon Kick.
Huh?
Number 8 is Galactic Cowboys.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, that's never gonna happen, Kevin. Never.
Never.
Number 7 is 24/7 Spies. And number 6 is Podunk.
Huh?
Number 5 is Fishbone. And they are followed at number 4 by Prince.
Okay, that's enough.
Number 3 is 311.
What is this?
Number 2 is, of course, King's X.
Oh, man, that's bad.
And the number 1 band that Kevin would like to see on Rock Band on PS3... Crunchy.
Very impressive.
Well, yes, Kevin. I too would like to see Crunchy on Rock Band.
Bring it on.
And even though I'm quite sure that will never happen, I liked your list.
And even I am blown away by it.
And I know some people will criticize you, and they'll say, yeah, you just put Crunchy at the top of the list so you could suck up to Monty.
I mean, it's obvious.
But let me assure everyone, just because you put Crunchy on your list does not mean I'm going to automatically give you an amazing prize package.
Really?
However, it does increase your chances.
I'm not going along with this, okay?
But Kevin, you are going to the playoffs.
And I will have no part of it.
Congratulations.
I will have no part of it!
Next, I have a question from Josh Laurie, who says, hey, Monty, I have a live Galactic Cowboys bootleg from 1994, and there's a song you guys do called Chia Pet. I was wondering, is there a studio version of this tune, or did it turn into another song?
What a great question.
Well, Josh, the song you're talking about, Chia Pet, was a tune I wrote back in the early 90s, around 93 or 94, I'm guessing. We did do a studio demo for it, and apparently we played it out a couple of times, but it never made it onto an album. I really liked it, but it had weird, quirky lyrics, and some of the guys weren't that sure about it, but you gotta remember, at that time, we'd just gotten dropped by Geffen. The whole music scene was nothing but Pearl Jam and grunge and taking yourself really seriously. So we never ended up doing anything with it, and it just ended up on a cassette tape and thrown into a drawer. And the other day when I got your email, Josh, I suddenly realized I didn't have a copy of it. So I did what I always do in that situation. I sent an email to Mr. David Whiteman.
Ah!
And David, being the awesome Galactic Cowboys fan that he is, was kind enough to send me an MP3 of my own song.
He's a nice man.
So thanks to David, here now is a rare Galactic Cowboys demo. Yeah, that was definitely a demo, and it kind of sounded like we probably recorded that in our practice room, and more than likely on somebody's 4 or 8-track cassette recorder.
Amazing info.
Even worse audio quality than I remember, but I still like that song.
Why?
I maybe should have just saved that and put it on a crunchy album, but there it was, and hope you enjoyed it.
Hated it.
Getting back to your comments, several of you liked the countdown of my favorite Beatles songs. Patrick Wolf wrote to say that he didn't like the early Beatles stuff as much as he did the complex and trippy stuff on albums like Rubber Soul and the ones that came after that.
Totally.
Dave Ferris in Nebraska also loved my choices for favorite Beatles songs, and he wanted to know what my thoughts and memories were of the Sgt. Pepper's album.
I'm interested in your response to this.
Well, Dave, obviously that album is a classic, and it's still inspiring to listen to even today. Sure, the songs were well written and they were great, but the production was just so innovative and creative. And it just goes to show what artists and musicians are capable of when they're brave enough to just throw all the rules and formulas out the window. Now, the earliest memory I have of Sgt. Pepper's was the day my brother brought it home from the store. And I don't mean on CD, I'm talking vinyl the week it came out. And we sat there in the living room of our mobile home in Phoenix, Arizona, and we took the plastic off and opened up the cardboard sleeve and looked at all the artwork. And as I recall, there was little pictures in there that you could cut out. And I couldn't stop looking at the cover, wondering who all these people were. Of course, I didn't get to listen to the music until years later because my folks thought the Beatles were drugged out hippies. And as it turns out, yeah, my parents were probably right, but God, did the Beatles make some great music.
Yeah!
Next, I got an email from Ryan Kellison, who says, "Hey, Monty, I have a question about picking an album song sequence. How much does the producer and or record label have in the process? Is it a painstaking ordeal? And are there many vicious, bloody fights over it?"
The answer is yes.
Well, good question, Ryan. It kind of depends. With my crunchy stuff, I always put the songs in the order I want it. But with Galactic, we got input from everybody, all four guys in the band, the producer, and even sometimes the A&R man. The ultimate goal is to kind of have a roller coaster effect. You want to get things kicked off, so you usually try and put one of your best songs first, hopefully something up-tempo, and you try to keep the momentum going for a while, but then eventually bring it down with maybe a ballad. It's kind of the same way you make out a set list for a live show. You kind of want some peaks and valleys, but you also want to end strong. The hardest part is just getting the songs to flow with each other. You don't want two songs that sound too much alike going back to back with each other, so you think in terms of transitions. Now, as far as bloody fights, I don't remember too many, but I do remember having to push a little bit to get a few of my songs on an album, and there was a couple of times when I actually fought to keep a song off the CD. One of those tunes was a ballad called Blind, and I had written that for the first album, and our producer Sam Taylor wanted it on there. But I didn't want to be known as a ballad band, and I thought there was already enough ballads on the first album, so I fought to keep it off, and I won.
Good for you!
We ended up re-recording that song, and it went on the second album, and I think it was a good decision.
You could not be more wrong!
And finally, Alex Barlow, who made the mistake of wearing work boots to a Megadeth show, contacted me on Facebook and asked, "Monty, what is your favorite brand of footwear?"
This is enormously important.
Well, Alex, if you must know, over the years, I have tried many different brands. And presently, I can even be seen wearing a pair of Nikes to the gym. But when it comes down to it, my tried and true brand of choice has always been Converse.
Oh my word, that's amazing!
I love me some high-top Chuck Taylors, and I even wore them with my suit at my wedding.
That's just dopey!
To me, they look good, feel good, they're cool. And mark my words, they're never going out of style.
That is a profound statement.
So I've answered your questions, but now I've got a question I want to ask myself.
Go ahead.
Well, all right, here goes. Hey, Monty, what's on TV? Well, thanks for asking. And there's actually been quite a bit here lately to watch, including a cool documentary about the heavy metal band Pentagram.
Who the hell is that?
Yeah, I never really knew that much about Pentagram myself, but I had heard about them for years, mainly from people like Phil Anselmo from Pantera. Guys like that were always wearing their t-shirts and raving about them, but I never knew really anything about them. Turns out they formed in the 70s, and they've actually been quite influential to a lot of doom and heavy metal type bands. So the other night, by chance, I run across this movie on Showtime called Last Days Here. And it basically chronicled the life of Pentagram lead singer Bobby Liebling.
Who is he?
As you might have guessed, he's now in his 50s, strung out on drugs, lives in his parents' basement, and he thinks there's bugs crawling on his skin. Yeah, what'd you expect? A documentary about a musician who was successful and had it all together?
Well, yeah.
Oh, hell no. This guy's messed up.
Oh, good.
And like so many of these movies about washed-up, aging rock stars, we get to be entertained by his misery.
Nice.
This reminded me a little bit of the Anvil movie, but Last Days Here is much more depressing. However, I really liked it, I would recommend it, and the last 5 minutes are really surprising. I'm not going to give away the ending, but what happens to him, I did not expect or see it coming. So you'll just have to watch it and find out for yourself.
Okay.
Of course, the NBA and NHL playoffs are going on right now. And I used to be a big NHL fan, but then the other night I remembered why I no longer watch hockey. I was sitting in the living room and I was watching the Blackhawks and the Red Wings. And I watched for about a half an hour and there was no score. And I finally decided, you know, I'm going to go upstairs and finish watching it up there. So I turned the TV off, went into the kitchen and got a drink of water, walked upstairs, turned the TV on, and the first thing I see is the Red Wings are up 1-0.
Go!
That's right, it couldn't have been more than like 5 minutes that I was away from that game, but in those 5 minutes, that's when the one goal occurred that happened in that game. And that's the way it's always been. I can sit there for 3 hours watching a game, and the only time they score is when I go to the bathroom. So sadly to say, once again, I think I'm done with hockey. However, the one sport I've never watched and never will watch is golf.
Yeah.
I don't play golf, and I sure as hell am not going to sit there and watch golf on TV. But the other day, I turn on this sports show with these two commentators called Mike and Mike, and they're talking about this huge controversy that's going on in golf. And this guy, Mike Greenberg, is saying things like, "It's uncalled for, it's outrageous, under no circumstance is there ever an excuse for this." And I'm like, oh my God, what happened? And I find out this golfer, Sergio Garcia, has said something horrible about Tiger Woods. And I'm like, oh wow, what did he do? Threaten to kill him? But no, instead he made a joke about Tiger Woods coming to his house and having fried chicken.
Oh my God!
Oh yes, the horror.
Disgusting!
I'm sorry if your kids accidentally heard me say that. I mean, after all, it's 2013, and everybody knows you cannot say something about a black person and fried chicken in the same sentence.
Mm-hmm, I know that's right.
Even though I know a couple of black people who actually like fried chicken, and one of them even likes watermelon.
Say what?
And I'll tell you somebody else who likes fried chicken and watermelon. Me.
Oh, yeah!
So perhaps the media should just back off a little bit before we all get painted into a corner and we're all afraid to say anything. Because believe it or not, I think Tiger Woods will probably survive this. And if he doesn't, he's the biggest wimp on earth. As for Sergio Garcia, he apologized for his fried chicken remarks, and therefore he is welcome at my house anytime, where I will be glad to serve him tacos.
Dude, you're so racist!
Have you seen those commercials for AT&T where you got the adult sitting at a table with a bunch of kids? And he'll ask him a question, and the kids will just start babbling some total nonsense.
I think I have seen that, yes.
Yeah, I love those, because they're so true. Because around 5-6 years old, kids can be so freaking annoying.
They're evil!
Because let's face it, at that age, they've just started to figure out how to put a couple of sentences together. And they will say anything just so they can hear the sound of their own voice. And if they don't have anything to say, they're fine with just sitting there and saying, blah, 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 blah.
It begins to drive me into a frustrated rage.
Now that I'm married, I am now the stepdad to a 6-year-old boy. And my wife and I have still not gotten through an entire conversation without being interrupted since the day that I met her. Now, I was going to tell you about the Billboard Music Awards, but the night that that was on, we had a tornado watch here in Kansas City, and our local TV weatherman decided that he was going to come on our screens all night and completely wipe out all network programming. So instead of seeing Justin Bieber and Taylor Swift gather up awards for their musical excellence, I got to see a guy stand in front of a weather map for 3 hours and tell me it was raining. However, in hindsight, maybe that was God's way of sparing me from another horrible TV award show.
Thank you, God.
Instead, I watched a Behind the Music on VH1 about Bad Company. And like all Behind the Music episodes, somebody died, somebody was on heroin, and they all look really old now.
Pitiful.
However, it did remind me of just how amazing Paul Rogers' voice is. And yet, that guy is not in the Hall of Fame, but Justin Bieber just won the Milestone Award from the good people at Billboard.
Come on!
It is a sad world we live in.
I guess so.
And finally, I watched part of the new live DVD by Judas Priest called Epitaph. It was the last show from the last tour they did, and I gotta say, I was pleasantly surprised. I saw the Priest back in the 80s, I saw him again in the 90s, and by the looks of this DVD, they're better than ever.
There's no way!
They've got a new guitar player named Richie Faulkner who replaces KK Downing, and the guy blew me away. Apparently, he used to play in a band with Steve Harris's daughter, but now he's in Judas Priest, and not only does he have the look, he brings a whole new youthful feel, and the guy completely shreds. So if you're a Judas Priest fan, make sure you check out their new DVD, and now that I've seen it, I'm looking forward to their next album.
Okay, terrific.
But there you go, that's what I've been watching, and that is what's on TV. After a couple of months where there wasn't much new music coming out, all of a sudden the floodgates have been opened. And now suddenly there's more stuff than I can shake my overly critical finger at.
You jerk!
So here now are my rapid-fire CD reviews, starting with the brand new one from Alice in Chains. The name of the new CD is brilliantly titled, The Devil Put Dinosaurs Here. Unfortunately, that's kind of where the brilliance ends. There are some great moments, but overall it kind of drones on and on for me. I mean, I like their vocal harmonies, I always have. I'm just not crazy about the melodies they came up with on this CD. So for the new Alice in Chains, I'm kinda ho-hum.
And they should be ashamed of themselves for it.
Okay, we all remember that classic metal song, Balls to the Wall by Accept, right?
Nope.
Well, the guy who sang that song, Udo Dirkschneider, has a band, and they're called UDO, and their new CD is called Steel Hammer. You know, I love metal, I love heavy guitars, but there's a fine line here that Udo is treading on, and this CD to me falls somewhere in between kinda cool and a little bit stupid.
Look and see the metal machine we've all been living with.
Yeah, I think I'm going to stick with the old Accept stuff, but if you like UDO, they got a new album.
Oh, thank you for telling me.
Okay, now as I've said many times, I love Thin Lizzy. One of my favorite bands of all time, and in the last couple of years, some of the former members have been playing under the name Thin Lizzy. And as I've said on this show before, I guess I'm all right with that, but what they really ought to do is get a new name and go make a new album. Well, lo and behold, that's exactly what they did. They call themselves Black Star Riders, and the name of the CD is All Hell Breaks Loose.
Bound for glory,
bound for glory.
We lost but no more lonely.
Bound for glory,
bound for glory.
Bound for living on the edge.
Bound for glory,
bound for glory.
The righteous and unholy.
Desperation always tells a story.
It may be unfair to compare them to Thin Lizzy, but I have to because they sound like Thin Lizzy, but they're not as good. And in my humble opinion, it's mainly just the songwriting. However, you still get the twin guitars and Scott Gorham plays some awesome leads. So even though I'm not crazy about the whole album, it's not bad and I'd actually like to see them live. Especially if they throw in some of that Thin Lizzy stuff. So that's Black Star Riders, and maybe some of you older guys will like that. But next is a review for all my listeners who are under the age of 20.
What?
Oh, yeah. Well, come to think of it, I don't have any listeners under the age of 20.
That's right.
Not yet, anyway.
That day is never coming.
But I know at least a couple of you guys out there will like this. I know Matt in St. Louis turned me on to this band.
Who is it?
It's Sleeping with Sirens, and their new CD is called Feel.
Even if there's nowhere left to go,
one of those bands you would see at Warped Tour if you went to Warped Tour. But since you probably won't, I'll just tell you that they're just your basic rock band with a singer that can sing really high. It's not that heavy, there's not a lot of screaming going on, but there's actually two or three good songs on this CD. Now, you're probably never going to hear this next band on your local crappy FM radio stations because they're too busy playing Green Day and The Offspring. But if you like punk and pop punk, you might want to check out the new one from Man Overboard. I saw these guys last year at Warped Tour.
Are you serious?
Yes, I go to Warped Tour.
Weirdo.
They're a little nerdy, but they write cool songs, and I love the harmonies. So that was Man Overboard with their new CD, Heart Attack. But I know you don't listen to this show for stuff like that. You want to get your skull crushed. And fortunately, I have just the thing. It's the new one from Megadeth, Super Collider. Yes, Dave Mustaine is back. He's a born-again Christian now, but I've decided that is not going to stop me from listening to Megadeth.
Hallelujah.
I'm just kidding, because I love Dave Mustaine. I love his music, and I love his hatred of left-wing politics.
Down on your luck, you had your hand out once or twice, but all you wanted was just a hand, they say. Broken promises and lies of hope and change. Powers that we will never win. A storm is coming, get ready. You better learn to dance in the rain. Instead of wait for the sun, learn to dance in the rain.
I've been a Megadeth fan for a long time, and admittedly, I like their early thrash stuff the best. I guess I was hoping for a little bit more of that on this new CD, but honestly, most of the album strikes me as just kind of straight-ahead rock. However, there are just a couple of places on the CD where they break into some of that old-school thrash.
religious wars destroy the family when love is born.
In summary, I would say Super Collider has its moments, but overall I was a little disappointed. It's got some good melodic songs, but just nothing that totally blew me away. However, like always, Megadeth put a cover tune on this album, and this rendition of Thin Lizzy's Cold Sweat totally rocks. And that's it for your rapid-fire CD reviews. If you'd like to contact me, you can do so at my website, montycalvin.net, where you can also find my merchandise and paintings. You can also reach me on Facebook, where you can be my friend.
Well, whoop-de-doo.
Yeah, I've kind of got a love-hate relationship with Facebook. On the one hand, it's a great way to promote the podcast and connect with fans and friends you haven't seen in a while. And then on the other hand, it just about sickens me the way some people think they have to share every single detail about their lives.
Yeah, so?
I mean, I guess that's up to you if you want to do that. But are you really that important that you think everyone needs to know every single thought that you have?
You're bumming me out, old man.
Like I've said before, I think our whole society has just become so full of themselves. And we're told from the very minute we're born that everything we think, do, and say is completely awesome. And since every living human now has access to a computer and the internet, we now have an entire generation of narcissists who are completely addicted to feeding their egos.
Whoa.
I mean, seriously, I know there are some people out there who can't go an hour without posting on Facebook, much less a day. And if you're below the age of 21, I'm not even sure you should be allowed to post a status update. I mean, does anybody really need to know the life-changing words of wisdom from an 18-year-old?
Yes?
I say no. And yet, for some reason, I still go on the news feed and read what people have to say. And the fact that I actually spend time reading this ignorance makes me even dumber than the people who post it.
You're right.
With that in mind, I'm going to close the show with a popular segment that I like to call Facebook Status Updates. These are actual things that I have read on Facebook while wasting my life. I hope you enjoy it, and I'll talk to you next time. But until then, this is Monty saying take care. Don't let anyone tell you what to like, unless it's me. And
rock on.
Today is going to be a good day. I got puked on at work today, so that was a blast. The grace of God is our only hope. We were shown grace so we can show grace to other people. Everyone needs love and compassion. Your kid has ADD? Have you tried Jack slapping the piss out of him? It's a wonder drug. If you do things halfway, you will end up with halfway results. You're either in or you're out. I'm getting ready to watch Oprah. Shut up before I punch you in the face. Had a great surprise today. Caleb calls me at work and asks what my lunch plans are, and asks if I'd like to go to Chinese with him. Makes a mommy happy to spend time with her wonderful son. Oh, by the way, his treat.
I have to throw up.
A person should not be defined by their clothes, skin color, or social class, but by their character. I'm naked.
How gross.
When we are weak, he is strong, and that's all I need to know. I feel like total butthole. Sinus infection. Can anyone tell me what it's like to be attractive and intelligent? Seems like people are incapable of being both. I'm neither. Uncle Ven's Comedy Club is a bunch of butthole douchebags. Soft-assed East Coast computer person representing their joint blocked me because they can't handle a mind.
Huh?
The couple who prays together shares an intimacy that cannot be created through any other means. Is there anything better than Chobani Greek yogurt? If there is, I haven't found it. You are who you choose to be. Nobody makes decisions for you. Life is a choice. If you don't like Judas Priest, roll up your car window, dinky. Hashtag saints in hell. Life is difficult. Friends we argue with about universal truths hurt in their hearts. That's a universal truth. Remember, if it's brown, flush it down. If it's yellow, then it's mellow.
It's over!